At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to another podcast. Today, we're going to talk about herd mentality. It is also known as mob mentality, crowd psychology, groupthink, bandwagon effect as well. By the way, thank you, Ptisem, for recommending the subject. All right, let's dive in. So what is it? Herd mentality refers to the tendency for individuals to align their beliefs, decisions, or behaviors with those of a larger group. Obviously, this happens regardless of your independent judgments or preference. It's like saying, everybody else is doing it, let's do it too. Or I'll believe what they believe. This happens even when the evidence or reasoning might suggest otherwise, you still follow the herd, follow the mob. So this herd mentality is characterized by, first, conformity. Individuals adopt group norms, even if they privately disagree with that group. The other thing is reduced critical thought. So it's like the group's influence overwhelms your individual reasoning. You think, it's since everybody's believing it, then they must be right, right? Your sense of logic disappears. And the other characteristic is social proof. So seeing others do an action or adopt a certain belief, it provides implicit validation that you should do it too. And one other thing that characterizes herd mentality is this diffusion of responsibility. If you are in a large group, you will feel less responsible. If all of us get it wrong, then we are going to feel the same way. So I wouldn't feel as bad if I was the only person. If I was the only person that chose the wrong answer, then I would feel way worse. But if it's all of us, then I wouldn't feel that bad. And the last thing that I forgot to mention is this rapid spread of behavior. This is another characteristic of herd mentality. So once the herd picks up a behavior or begins moving, momentum builds and everybody else follows. You see this a lot with trends. People pick up new beliefs, new habits, and everybody is imitating that kind of behavior. You see this on TikTok, Instagram. There are certain reels that are repeated all the time. Certain songs are repeated all the time. People don't actually reason that through just because it's just herd mentality. Everybody's doing it. Let's just do it too. So what are the roots of herd mentality? So in 1895, a French sociologist, Gustave Le Bon, argued that individuals in crowds lose their personal self-control and act in more emotional or irrational ways. So this herd behavior can be viewed as adaptive. In ancestral environments, when we say ancestral in English, we mean it comes from our ancestors, those people that lived long ago before us and related to us. So picking up cues from neighbors, where to forage, where predators are, could improve survival if you imitate your what everybody is doing, what everybody is thinking. Back in the days, this herd mentality helped people survive. Humans and other animals are imitation creatures. They imitate all kind of behavior. If you look at toddlers, when they try to pick up a language, they imitate their parents, right? They imitate every word, every phrase, every sentence, slightly different, but they still do imitate. Not just the language, they imitate also the behavior. If they see that you are doing something a certain way, they try to do it as well. So basically, they imitate everything. So why do we follow this herd? We talked about social proof before. When you are uncertain, usually you look to what others are doing as a guide, right? Because you don't know what to do. So if other people are doing a certain activity, you just follow what they're doing, right? Because you don't know what's happening. You don't know what they're doing, right? You have to look at somebody. You don't ask questions. You just look at what other people are doing and you just imitate that. The other thing is fear of exclusion. You don't want to be excluded. You don't want to be ostracized or socially isolated. You have to be in a group, right? When we say ostracized, we mean excluded. So you have to align with the group, right? Because it is the safest bet for you. The other thing too is cognitive ease. It is often easier to accept the group consensus than to engage in deep independent thinking, right? That's easier to do it in a group than do it yourself. In English, when we say consensus, we mean agreement with a certain party or accord or harmony, right? All of those are synonymous with consensus. So how is this related to our daily life? Think of the things you did, the decisions you made in your life that were influenced by herd mentality. Imagine you are in your 20s and then you got a job because everybody is getting a job. And then you got to a point where everybody in your environment wants to get married, they have kids, they have that, they have a certain car, they buy a certain house, they wear a certain brand, right? So everybody is, since everybody is doing that, you feel that you are going to be excluded if you don't do the same thing. You feel that you are going to be ostracized or being like an outcast, right? So naturally, most people, they are going to follow suit. Basically, just do what others are doing. Even though you're not convinced of the reasons, you did not really make a conscious effort to thinking about why you should do a certain act, right? If this is, again, in marriage, following a certain field. You studied engineering, not because you liked engineering, because everybody is following engineering. Sometimes this is also can be generalized by culture. Since everybody's eating couscous on Friday, you feel the need to do that too, because everybody else is doing. And if you don't do it, you don't feel like you belong in that culture. Same thing for religion. Everybody is worshiping the same God. If you don't do that, you feel like you're an outcast, you don't belong, and everybody else will treat you the same way, right? So this is how herd mentality is seen in our daily life. It's not always bad, you know? Sometimes herd mentality can be a positive thing. Again, we go back to studying medicine, studying engineering. That kind of behavior is a good behavior, because if you study engineering, so the chances of you being a successful person is very high. Sometimes herd mentality can be good and it can help you if you're lost and certainly don't know what to do. So following what everybody is doing is good, but it's not always good, right? So despite of what we talked about, you have to have some level of agency. You have to think things through and not do certain things because other people tell you to do. You graduate, you get a job, you get a car, you get a house, and then and you see all of your classmates, everybody is married. Maybe you see them on an event and you talk to your classmates and they say, you ask them, you see everybody with their wives, they have kids, they have that. And there is this tendency for you to ignore all kind of reason and just follow what other people are doing because to you, it is the safest behavior. I cannot say whether marriage is a behavior that is bad or good in general, but I think people should do it not because everybody else is doing it. You should get married because you are confident, you are 100% sure that you want to do it, not because other people are doing it. You have to be, you have to empty yourself of bias. When we say bias in English, we mean error in reasoning. So as we said, there are costs and risks to herd mentality. You are going to lose this individual critical thinking, and you are going to become susceptible to errors. When we say susceptible to error, we mean like yielding or succumbing to error, right? And again, you are going to be very, very biased because you're not thinking critically. You are following a certain group. So you will lose all of that critical thinking, your ability to think individually is going to be gone, right? Because you followed a certain group and you're doing what they are doing, right? Nietzsche once said, the greatest man is someone who rises above the herd, not someone who follows the herd. So you can make of that what you will. By and large, we always see that person who doesn't really follow everybody's path as different, as great, as someone who is courageous. Because imagine you are walking down a path and there are two paths. Thousands of you went to one path and the other person went to that single path, right? People are going to look at you like, look, you're the only person that went that path. You might see monsters there. There might be danger. So people are going to look at you as somebody who is courageous because you chose to go the path alone than go with the herd. I remember we talked about Kierkegaard before, and he also talked about a crowd, and he said the crowd is entruth, meaning that the truth is not found in what everybody does, but in the individual's relation to himself. But we have to always go back and balance this out. You cannot always be contrarian. You cannot always be against the group. There is a certain value we get from belonging to a social setting. You get conformity, you get warmth, you get safety, security, and ease, right? There is so much that you can get from being in a social environment, in a society, so to speak, right? So escaping that certainty and going on your own sometimes could be dangerous. Not everybody that walked their path alone survived, especially back in the days. You had to belong to a tribe. You had to belong to a group. Otherwise, other people are going to kill you, right? If you're alone, you are exposed to danger, exposed to other parties that are not going to like you if you are alone, right? So the chances of you surviving in the past was very minuscule. And so translate that to today, following your own path, basically choosing something. Imagine I'm very young and then I follow my own path. I don't follow what people are doing. I don't want to study. I don't want to go through school. I just want to do whatever I want. That could be a dangerous path. The path of school, albeit some form of like herd mentality, but at the same time, it does give you certain skills that you need throughout your life. Some of them are useless, some of them are useful, right? But it's a path that most people follow. And by and large, most people that follow the schooling path tend to succeed, right? And only small percentage, the 1% of those people that take their own path or follow their own path tend to succeed. Not all of them succeed, right? Think of the last protest that we had in Morocco. Protests, by and large, have herd mentality or mob mentality. Riots, right? Mass movements. Often, they exhibit this herd-type dynamics. So people are not going to think individually. They are going to think like a group, right? And obviously, momentum builds and group identity dominates, right? So you no longer think you cannot go against what others are saying. You always follow what they're doing. And you see this with our looting. You see this with destructive behavior, right? Or destroying property. So once something starts, it's just snowballs into something bigger. One person does it, a lot of people will do it, right? So in extreme cases, if there is violence against the police, one person starts it, and it's going to snowball into everybody's doing it. And this happens in social media too. I said that earlier about trending topics, trending brands, viral misinformations as well. These echo chambers, they all exploit this human tendency to conform, to perceive the majority behavior, right? If a lot of people are doing it, everybody else is going to conform to it, especially if you are in a crowd, if you're in a follow a certain artist, certain person, certain idol. Remember, we talked about idols before. So that too can have a form of herd mentality or groupthink. So why does this matter? So why are we studying this herd mentality? First of all, personal decision-making. Recognizing herd influences helps you make more autonomous, reflective choices rather than simply following what others do. Imagine you make your own decisions without following others. That is the onset of critical thinking. Second thing has to do with your civic life. Democracies, markets, institutions depend on informed individuals. When herd behavior dominates, innovation, dissent, and long-term thinking suffer so much. So to be innovative, creative, a productive citizen of society, you need to have autonomous, individualistic thinking. Thinking that is free of herd mentality, of groupthink. Last thing is this ethical dimension. If groups conform to a certain behavior, they can also conform to wrongdoings. If all people think something is wrong, but they don't question it, that is bad. So getting rid of that, you will have your own ethical, moral ground, right? A ground that is based on logic, based on reasoning. You shouldn't do something because everybody thinks you should do it. You should do something because it stands to reason that it's the right thing to do. I should not punish somebody because society or everybody else is telling me to punish that person. I should punish that person because I have good reasons to punish that person, right? You should have your own moral framework to judge people, not because what other people are thinking. All right, everybody, let's stop here. Hopefully today's podcast was interesting, informative. I try to define the words that I thought were difficult, but sometimes I get carried away and I forget to define maybe words that are difficult. You can still follow the transcript of the podcast on the website and you will be able to find the difficult word that I mentioned in the podcast. But yeah, I appreciate everybody for today. I will see you next time. Until then, bye.